Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Simon read for us from 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. And last week we heard about this idea of knowing that you really know that you know. This week, John is speaking, this passage, John is speaking to those that know that they know. He's speaking to not children, literal children, literal young people, literal mothers and fathers, but he's talking to the little children in the faith, the young people in the faith, the mothers and fathers in the faith. We'll have a look at these three stages of what is spiritual maturity. Because as Christians, we want to grow up, don't we? You know, true believers grow up. True believers grow up from being little children in the faith to young people in the faith to mothers and fathers in the faith. Tom writes, and I was reading him as we were preparing for this, and he says that these verses are like a hymn or a story. It's like going on a journey that seems familiar, but in the end you end up somewhere you didn't quite expect, somewhere entirely new. This is me on my way to Ballymena. I'm going on an adventure. So it's like Tom Wright says, about going on an adventure with God, traveling through these stages of maturity, growing up with him, going on this journey from being little children to young people to mothers and fathers in the faith. So what is John saying to the little children in the faith? He's saying to them, if you go on to the next slide, please. Yeah, thank you. He's saying to them that they have experienced forgiveness and they know the forgiveness of God, don't they? They know it deeply. They've come to him, and we all come to him, to God, as little children. We don't come with our sophisticated theological thinking, do we? We come to him initially in those stages of our lives with simple childlike faith and that confident expectation that he loves us. And they know this at this point. This is where we base our faith, knowing that we have free forgiveness in Christ. Knowing that we can confidently approach him. And it's like Ephesians 1 says, go on to the next slide for me, please. It says, and they know this. For the next one. I mustn't have put it up there. Anyway, we can look at that. So Ephesians 1 says, you have, and they have, and they do know that in repenting and turning to Jesus, they have free and full forgiveness in him. They have this confidence, as little children do, that they can approach God as a little child approaches their parent, you know, confident of their love for them. Like a small child, we know that we have little to offer except our love for him, for our parent who is God. But this knowledge then should lead us to what more? It should lead us to thirst and hunger for more. 1 Peter says this. He says that like little babies, like little children, we should cry out for nourishment, for spiritual food, for the nourishment of the scriptures, of prayer, for the presence of the Holy Spirit, for community with one another. That's why we gather. We gather to worship together. And it's this that feeds our appetite, this spiritual nourishment. And that's how we grow, isn't it? That's how we go from glory to glory, to victory to victory. We grow through our nourishment from him. And we go from little children to young people in the faith, the next stage of our spiritual journey. So John talks to here, not the literal young people, but those who are in the adolescence of their faith. This next stage, those who know the assurance of God through trials. He says to them, you know, I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, young people, because you are strong. The word of God abides in you. You have overcome the evil one. They have overcome trials, and in those trials, they know the strength and the filling of God. They've battled with temptation, and they've won. And John says to them, you're strong. Why are they strong? What makes them strong? Well, they know that the word of God abides in them. Just as I said before, they've been nourished spiritually. They long for that spiritual nourishment, for the word of God, for it to abide in their hearts, for Jesus Christ to abide in their heart, for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Like Galatians 2 says, you know, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Ephesians says, Christ may dwell in your hearts. Paul asks that Christ may dwell in their hearts so they can be rooted and grounded in love. And God wants us to be meditating on the word of God. Last Sunday, Psalm 1, we talked about meditating on the word of God day and night. God longs for us to come to him, come to his word, and meditate on him, his word, the things of God, the good things of him, and allow that to infiltrate their hearts, our hearts. But how do we overcome the wicked one? What does that mean, to overcome the wicked one? Well, it comes through the confession of the word of God. And when I say the confession of the word of God, I mean the speaking out of the word of God, knowing it in your heart and speaking it out in your life. You know, we need to deeply know the word of God to have it abide in our hearts. It's then we can confidently express and confess the word of God. What does Jesus say to the devil when he's tempted in the desert? The devil says, we have a wee bit from Matthew 4 here. Put my glasses on so I can see him. So the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. What does Christ say? It is written. Christ knows this deeply. He knows the scriptures, and he's able to overcome every word, every temptation of the devil. He can counter because he knows the scriptures deeply. He can confess the word of God, the truth of the Father, and cuts the devil off at his feet, doesn't he? It is written. Christ knows it is written. He can confess the word of God. But these young people in the faith not only are able to abide in Christ, and not only have the word of God abiding in their hearts in such a way that they know it, that it seeps out from every part of them, they also know who is equipping them, who prepares them for those trials. Have you ever gone out for a long walk and halfway through it starts to rain and you realise, I really should have put my coat on? You know, I really should have equipped myself for this walk. I should have brought my umbrella. I should have done something. These are people who know who equips them. They have the full armour of God, don't they? They know who equips them. They have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, those feet that are fitted with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. So these young people in the faith have grown up from being little children in the faith. They are on their journey, and they have overcome through the word of God, through the equipping of God, and they're strong in the knowledge that Christ lives and reigns in their hearts. So here we have this cycle from little children to young people to mothers and fathers. You could be a mother and father in the faith at any stage in your life. We're not talking about, you know, chronological age. We're talking about the stages of maturity in Christ. It's when people are in the fuller spiritual experience and maturity of God. They've grown up. Remember, true believers grow up, don't they? They long to grow up. They long to mature spiritually. They grow up. So these mothers and fathers in the faith, they know him who was from the beginning. Who is it that's from the beginning? God the Father. They know him. they love him, and that love feeds into everything they do. And it's at that stage they're passing that out, aren't they? They're allowing that to radiate from them and build up others in the faith. You know, so we're talking about this series as being about living in truth and love. These are people who live in truth and love and long to be teaching and touching others with that. Fostering children and young people in the faith and continuing their Christian walk. We should be longing to see this cycle continue and continue. But let's not kid ourselves. We can't say that there's not things at every stage of our journey that are relevant to us at whatever stage we're on. You know, there are things that we learn very early in our Christian walk that we need to relearn, that we need to focus on. There's times we need to remind ourselves that we are truly forgiven, that we're truly forgiven when we repent, when we turn to Christ. There are stages in our lives when we need to be reminded of these truths, no matter where we are in our spiritual journey. I saw this quote and I thought it was quite funny. It says, we never really grow up, we just learn how to behave in public. I had a friend who there were several of them, and she said that whenever they went to church to help them behave or remind them to behave, her mum brought a wooden spoon in her handbag. And if they misbehaved, she would take it out and wave it at them. Behave. You know, we don't want to be Christians who just behave outwardly as Christians. We want to truly grow up. We want to truly grow up and have these truths fully infiltrate our lives. We should long to mature spiritually. Long to grow up in our faith, because believers really do grow up. And it's then when we are in this journey, we're able to see the world as it is. In verses 15 to 17, John says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. I thought this sounded very similar to Romans 12:2. You know, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your hearts and your mind. The world would have us believe that these things, like the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, are the most important things. You know, the desires of the flesh, that preoccupation to gratify all physical pleasures. You know, the things that we love to do that maybe aren't necessarily of the good things of God. You know, the desire of the eyes. That thing, that everything that we see, we long to have. Anything and everything, we long to have it. This coveting, this accumulation of stuff. You know, the longing for materialism. The pride of life, the pride of riches, as it says in my translation. You know, this preoccupation with the things that we achieve. You know, I did that. That was my achievement. Look at what I have done. You know, this pride in our own achievements. The world would have us believe that these are the most important things. But little children, young people, mothers and fathers in the faith know. They know that these things are not of the world. That the things of God are higher and better. What are these things in the grand scheme of God's kingdom? You know, all this stuff is temporary. It will pass away, but his riches, his kingdom will never pass away. I wonder, what do you want to be when you grow up? I think it's an interesting question to ask anybody, whatever age they are. What do you want to be when you grow up? I saw a great wee video of a mum who asked her little boy what he wanted to be when he grew up, and he said he wanted to be a French fry. Which I thought was, crispy, tasty. Anyway, Might not have a very long lifespan, you know, as a French fry, but I kind of wanted to be a police officer for a little while, and then I realised that I couldn't run very fast, so probably chasing criminals was not going to be my forte. Then I wanted to be a teacher, and I was a teacher for a long time, then God had other ideas. So, you know, it's an interesting question to ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because everybody has aspirations. We're constantly growing, aren't we? But as Christians, what do we long to be when we grow up? We long to be people who exist fully in his kingdom, that love the Lord, that long to see other people love the Lord, who are mothers and fathers in the community of the church. I've had wonderful spiritual mothers and fathers who have really guided me along in my spiritual journey. You should be longing to do this, longing to see people grow up, longing to be people who know the Lord. So let's just read this again, remind ourselves. I'm writing to you, little children, because you know your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Do you know that your sins are forgiven for his name's sake? I'm writing to you, fathers, mothers, and fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young fathers, young men, young women, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, mothers and fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young people, because you are strong. The word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. True believers want to grow up. They want to grow. They want to grow. So let's pray together as a family, whatever stage we are at. Let's pray for God to come and fill us, and fill us with that thirst and that hunger for more of him, for that spiritual nourishment. Let's pray. Father, we pray to you who is and was from the beginning. Father, we thank you that in you we have overcome the evil one. Father, we thank you that in you we are strong. And we pray that your word, Jesus Christ, would abide in us, that would fill us and would satisfy us, so that nothing of this world, nothing of this world is enough for us, because in everything we have you. In you we have everything. So we look to those things that are eternal, the good things of you. So, Father, we as little children, as young people, as mothers and fathers in the faith, turn our eyes to you and pray, come and fill us this day. Amen.